Sure, it's cold, but there are worse places to be this time of year, like Moose Jaw, Saskatchewan. Never been? Well, trust me, it's worse.
If KJ weren't playing Your Country Your Way, then how do you explain all the stickers and t-shirts saying that we do?
A rebel for every cause. A hero for every generation. From mod to metal, garage to grunge. If it rocks, it's K-Rock.
Right now, I'm supposed to tell you what station you're listening to, but I'm really just too tired and cheesed off about that pirate game last night. 19 innings for that?
105.7 Crush FM.
You look pretty today. What do you mean, what do you mean by that?
Remembering September 11th and honoring the American spirit. Pittsburgh's country. Y108.
Well, last year at this time, Kim K was planning a wedding.
And now she's with Kanye.
This girl makes more changes than Facebook.
If it rocks. If it rocks. It's K-Rock.
The producers.
Let me ask you this. You guys are both professional producers, professional voice talent, and you see all the time people saying, oh, I'm just going to go be a voiceover artist because they make millions for no time, you know. So compare this side of the business. How much do you really need to want being good as a video producer slash editor, you know, graphics type person to really do it? You know what I'm saying? Like, what's the scale here? I mean, is it something that really anyone can eventually kind of figure out and be good at and be profitable at? Or would you say, look, don't quit your day job for this?
I don't know. I think it all depends on your passion. If you're passionate about it, you know, you can make it happen. But, you know, like anything else in this world, I mean, you look at the voiceover world, which became a crowded space, you know, back around 96 with deregulation and so forth. And all these jocks that were kind of so-so got cut loose and they said, well, I've got a computer, I've got a microphone, I've got an ISDN line, I'll be a voiceover. And that mm-hmm. flooded the market. And then as Terry and I were trying to say, okay, we want to do something for ourselves. We've been making our own sound effects. We do our own voiceover. Why not do sound effects and voice for barter? Well, that idea suddenly exploded and there were several companies doing that. And, sure. you know, if you look at video, you know, we're doing it with relation to radio. But if you think of video on a grand scale with television producers and movie producers, it also is a crowded space. But that's one of the differences that we're doing with Splice is that, yeah, we're radio guys and we're aiming this at radio, what radio needs as far as video goes. Because there are a lot of places where you could get like the stuff that we're doing, you know, but it's not going to be aimed right at radio. You're going to have to whittle your way through it and maybe spend thousands of dollars to get the few pieces that you need to work.
Yeah, and actually that's where I was going to go next. So the one thing that I've, you know, my opinion is you guys stand out because a lot of different companies, there's a lot of places that a radio station could buy video or could get a video service, could get commercials, could get stuff for their web. But how many have you guys stumbled into that are actual radio guys doing this type of service or offering these types of services to radio stations?
Surprisingly few.
Yeah.
Radio seems to have the impression right now that they can't afford TV. And that was one of the light bulb moments for us, I think, because as soon as both of us reared our heads individually in our buildings that, hey, I'll just make the spot. You don't have to spend, you know, $2,000, $3,000, $4,000 for a horrible spot or $10,000, $15,000, $20,000 for, you know, a great spot. I'll make it. Once that cost was removed, all of a sudden the barrier just disappeared. And they were like, well, hey, we can just, these TV stations are buying for us for sweeps. Why don't we just trade some of that money out? And so they have trade TV and they have their TV spot. And it was the watershed moment because, you know, Drake and I were talking one day. It's like, well, if the barrier of cost is removed, then this is really a viable product, a useful thing. Radio stations could really up their game as far as being seen.
And to jump on to that, you know, what Terry and I have seen in our respective markets is because we are a CBS, we each have owned and operated television stations in the market, that we do that trade out and our stations are starting to see results. So much so that for the last two national contests that CBS has run for our country station, Y108, we actually managed to scrape up some TV money and run spots. And it's resulted in a giant bump in the ratings for Y108 to the point where we are one of the top three in the market now and, you know, leading our target demos.
This seems like a, you know, obviously, I mean, I'm not really trying to sell the product for you, but it definitely has value. So, I mean, it's a barter product, and radio stations where maybe 10 years ago they would do television advertising, over the last 10 years and a little less than that, they've decided, well, we just don't have the budget for it. We're not going to do it anymore. But now they can barter a service to get high quality, you know, commercials and then just go ahead and trade for their TV. I mean, this could very well be a good reason or excuse or way for radio stations to start advertising on TV again, not just because they have guys to do their creative, but because it'll actually give them a little leverage and trade within their own market.
Exactly. And you know, looking at what we want to do with our service, you know, the idea of doing tutorials that are aimed at radio guys. So
yes,
how
that,
do I
do
this?
That's where I wanted to go next, actually. So I've seen some of your tutorials, Drake. You do a really good job of those. And Terry, you might have some too. I just don't think I've seen them yet. But where are those tutorials? Do you have them on your website yet, or are they just on YouTube? How can people find those?
Well, right now they're part of the service. So that's one of the things that we wanted to do is give some value to the service by having tutorials so the people that sign up go, well, what do I do with these pieces? Well, here's what you do with them. So we have one or two that are available generally. And then the ones down the road are going to be more in-depth, more how to use the product and more beneficial to those who sign up.
And are those just for subscribers, or do you have those? I thought I've seen some publicly at least somewhere, at least one or two.
Yeah, we have a couple that are available. You know, how to set up a green screen studio, for example, is one of the ones that we felt was general enough, not too specific to our service, that everybody would be able to enjoy.
And the reason this is important is because, I mean, you guys will create full TV commercials. They get a package of some sort, but you're also giving them fly-in graphics and intro graphics and the little bottom third thing you were mentioning and the stuff that they can then take that will make whatever they shoot or the original content they have locally will make it look that much more professional, correct? That's why these videos are important for the local stations to see and learn.
Absolutely. The difference a lot of times between the video bloggers that people watch by the millions and the rest oftentimes are focused content and fancy opens and lower thirds popping up with their name on it. Well, radio stations already know how to refine their content. Morning shows do it every day. Afternoon shows have to pare it down every day. So they already know how to refine the content. All they need is the flashy graphic open and close and fly-by transitions so they can cut with the logo. And adding that is the difference between watching, you know, a little cable station trying to do news and an actual news station. Those graphics add a substantial amount of branding.
So what does it, let's say a local station, you know, a mid-level market, so they're not going to have a huge budget and they might not even have their own imaging guy in house, but they have a PD who does everything and a promotions person, market 150, something like that. What would they need to not just use the TV commercial you guys provide, but to actually start utilizing all this other graphical content, video content you give them? Do they need their own big full-blown computer with Vegas on it? Or, you know, what's sort of the minimum they can get away with?
Well, you could get that under $100 Vegas program, or if you have an Apple, you could use iMovie. Even Microsoft's Movie Maker actually is competent and good now. And it's free.
I've used that one.
But Vegas, if you can afford the $100, is well worth it for the extra tools. That and honestly, an iPhone.
Yeah.
You know, an iPhone or a Droid with a good camera on it. The new Windows phones have a great camera on them too, and all of them take video at 720 or 1080.
Hey, do you guys have an iPhone, Terry? Do you have an iPhone?
Yeah.
I heard this. I haven't had an iPhone in years. I've been an Android guy, but is it true that you can't take landscape video with an iPhone?
No, you totally can. It's just most iPhone users forget to turn their phone to the side.
Yeah, that's what I assume. Okay. Because
that's one of my
that.
Biggest pet peeves, too, because you'll have this nice, big, wide 16:9 window, and there's this little sliver of video in it. And it feels so claustrophobic.
It'll even be on like Tosh.0. You know, he'll be showing some video, and then this jackass is out in the woods taking this great, hilarious video, but couldn't figure out that, you know what, my TV's this shape. Maybe I should hold my phone that way.
Yeah, they don't, and that's the thing, you know, that it's not something that it immediately comes to mind. Turn the phone.
So the thing is, somebody had told me that with the newest iPhone, you literally can't take landscape, but that's a lie. You can take a landscape video with an iPhone.
That's horse bucky. Yeah, okay. You totally absolutely can do landscape with the new iPhone. And the 4S and the 5 have the exact, well, almost the exact same camera architecture, and it's a great, great camera with a great lens.
1080p camera, right? 1080p HD
yes.
video. Yeah.
And on top of
yes.
that, for about $15 on eBay, you can buy a tripod and C-clamp for your smartphone that allows
nice.
You to shoot
yep.
the video landscape-wise, but it keeps the camera steady, because that's what's really important about shooting web video. If anybody could take home any other message today, keep your camera steady. Because as the computer tries to compress the video down all those pixels, the less movement, the steadier and cleaner the video.
I've seen
yep.
YouTube has the feature where it'll actually stabilize your video. But like Vegas, for example, does it have a really good stabilizer, or should people really just focus on just not shaking their hand?
I think that, you know, the steadier your camera is, no matter what amount of digital stuff you put on it, whether it's stabilization or red eye or digital zoom even, I think can mar your video. If it's
yeah.
not an optical zoom, don't use it. Anything you can do to get the clean source is the best.
Yeah, Terry.
Here's the best parallel, okay? You're not going to try to record something with, you know, loud noises and an air conditioner humming right next to you and expect it to be professional or taken seriously.
Yeah.
The equivalent to that is shaking the camera in video.
Do you guys have any really cool tips or things you found to let people, basically a steady cam for a handheld? I mean, you mentioned the tripod, but is there some little cool device you found that lets people be mobile with their phone camera but also keeps it stable?
The simplest thing I could think of is you set it up in a tripod and hold the tripod in your hand, just dangle it in your wrist. And the collapsed tripod at the bottom acts as a counterweight and
okay.
allows it to kind of stay steady. And that's
okay.
the best thing I can think of. You can even use a little desktop tripod, the iPhone clamp that it comes with is a little desktop tripod. Just holding that very loosely, just between your index finger and your thumb, and make a little ring and just kind of let that dangle. And that should help keep it steady as you move.
Nice. Because I think one of the benefits that you guys are bringing, you know, it's obviously a great service. It's radio guys making quality video for radio, but you're going to show the local, you know, radio people how to do their own video. You know, it's not just that they get the stuff you guys are making, but you're going to show them the best tactics. So I think some of this stuff is real good. Anything else that you would want to bring up, you know, for the local in the trenches guy who's got, you know, some artist coming to town, it's going to be a real big deal for them that they should keep their mind. In fact, let me ask two parts of that. Anything that you want to say, but also talk about lighting, because lighting is so important.
Lighting is the compression of the video world. The better the mic, the better the setting, the less you're going to need to compress to make yourself sound good. So the better the lighting, the less problem you're going to have on the other hand, and the more you're going to look good.
But talk about better, like define better, because I mean there can be too much, obviously.
You do not want harsh directional lighting. You do not want a bright light pounding in your face in one direction, because it's either going to cast a shadow on your face or shadow behind you. If you don't have the opportunity, ability to pay for lights, then a standard studio setting where it's just well lit is going to be better than getting a desk lamp and pointing it at your face. outside.
Let's say this. Yeah, I was just going to say, let's say, you know, a smaller market station has this exciting, you know, Keith Urban's going to come and it's a huge deal for them and they don't have a lot of time to figure it out. They have an iPhone. Now, would it just be better for them to shoot it outside on a sunny day, or is it better to go into the well-lit studio and shoot whatever they're going to shoot?
I'd say if you have
well-lit studio.
If you have Keith Urban inside, yeah.
Go ahead, Drake. What do you think?
Inside where you can control the environmental factors. And then the other thing that's important to do, and, you know, we're audio guys first and foremost. And if you cannot get a camera that has an audio input, then you're going to want to have a separate source and mate the two up in production.
Okay.
So you want to record it as if it were going on the air and then take that recording, put it into your editor. And that's where an editor like Vegas or Adobe Premiere or Final Cut would come in handy when you have multiple audio tracks.
Can you not do that in iMovie?
I think iMovie is only a single track, is it not? I'm not familiar with Mac.
I don't know.
Yeah, you have to move up to the Final Cut to get
What about
multiple.
Windows Movie Maker? Can you know if you can add an extra audio track in there?
I believe you can. I'm so living in the Vegas world when it comes to that kind of editing. I don't recall off the top of my head. For audio tracks, I believe they'll all have multiple tracks. It just last time I used iMovie, you were either on or off a single track. You couldn't bounce between tracks.
Yeah, that's okay.
And run two at the same time.
Drake, I'll go back to you. You were talking more about audio. I guess good practices for collecting your audio.
Oh yeah, one of the things that I learned and this was very early on is that the camera when it's you have to be in the face of your subject in order for to get decent camera audio. So one of the things that I had in my tool bag was a little handheld recorder. And I was able to buy a $30 lavalier microphone that terminated into a 1/8 stereo connection, plugged it into the mic input, put it on the subject, have them slide the recorder in their pocket, hit record, and put the hold button on. And then later I take that audio, mate it up to the camera audio, just look for some nice sharp waveforms to sync it up, mute the camera audio, and suddenly now I have good-looking video and good audio, and I can even have it shot at a distance.
And the type of recorder you use, just a little flash memory type recorder?
Yeah, like a little Sony, and then you can pull the bottom off. There's a little cap and has a USB terminal on the bottom and records to MP3.
And that's key, I mean, because especially with phone video, the audio is – even the best phone – audio when you record a video is bad, and then it just gets worse from there.
Exactly. And you're not very close to your subject, the worse it's going to be.
So that's definitely a huge tip. Lighting, we sort of learned maybe inside is better. You control the factors, and a well-lit studio is good. And then stabilization, that was important with the tripod. I'm sure there's a lot of things we can go through, but I will not give away all of your tips because you have a lot more to be learned on the websites. Guys, thanks so much. But obviously, before we go, tell everybody again how they can find you and investigate your service and see if they want to sign up for it.
Grooveworks.com/splice. That's our exclusive distributor. Grooveworks, great guys, fabulous to work with. And our client side site is prodsquad.com. And they both have plenty of videos, plenty of demos, and explanation.
And you guys are. Yeah, go ahead.
The
Drake.
Other thing we want to do is we want to offer up some sample video elements to the folks that listen to your podcast. We're going to have a special login set up for Ryan on the Radio listeners with about half a dozen animated backgrounds and transitions, some stuff that you can play with and kind of get a feel for what the service is about, from the work part standpoint.
Cool. And I guess I'll get that information from you in a little bit, unless you already know it right now. But then I'll post it on.
I have to set up the admin credentials. And once I do that, I'll email you and you can have those in the article.
Absolutely. I'll also add it to the intro of the podcast and I'll put it in the article and that'll be really cool. So even if people are, you know, not positive that they want to dive into the service yet, they can grab some of this. Maybe they already have Vegas and they can start toying around with it. I'm sure they'll get addicted, as most people do when they start playing with audio and or video. And then they'll all sign up. But you guys are signing clients already. It's really exciting. I'm glad I know both of you, and I'm really glad I got to have you on the podcast.
Well, thanks for having us.
It's been a goal now fulfilled to be on the Ryan on the Radio podcast. I feel like now I've made it in radio.
Right. It's funny.
No, seriously, though. I've been listening. That's how I've gotten to know a lot of people through the business, is through your podcast. So I'm not joking when I say it. It's really cool.
It's the who's who to a certain extent of production guys. Belittle myself, at least it took doing video to get on there, but hey, I'll take it.
Now, both of you would have been on regardless, but this just sort of worked out. And I've been working with Terry now on the other project, on the 360 Country project. So I've gotten to know his work even better. I mean, I just knew him as that guy who made really cool sounds, long ago. And then I knew him as the YCD guy. Just again, like I said, you know, one of my favorite country stations. But now I get to work with Terry hand in hand, so I know exactly how insane he is. So good luck to you, Drake.
Yes.
Thanks, guys. That'll wrap this one up, and we'll have information posted on the website. Thanks again so much for being on.
Well, thanks for having us, man. Appreciate it.
Thank you. The producers.
And that'll do it. Thanks again to the guys at Splice, Terry Phillips, Drake Donovan. If you want to get more information about those guys, go to the website, ryanontheradio.com. There's a show notes page with links to the free stuff and also their websites, embedded video, so you can see a video demo. Ironically, that seems to be pretty appropriate for a service like Splice, so I have a video demo on the website. I don't know if I mentioned, actually, I'm pretty sure I didn't. The beginning of part two, by the way, I went ahead and featured a Drake Donovan demo. What did he call that? Drake Donovan multi-format demo. So anyway, Terry Phillips stuff is on the website. I've had Terry audio on the site in the past, and I work with Terry Phillips at 360 Country, so I've mentioned him before, and he's got his stuff out there. But I'll have it posted on the website, too. And then Terry was behind the demo for Splice at the very beginning of part one also. So we got to hear a nice little even mix from those guys. Real quick, as it gets, whenever it gets cold in Dallas, which is, you know, like 60 degrees, I seem to get just lots of nice allergy symptoms. It's really awesome. It's usually about every time this year. So my voice and my nose and my throat are all going to close up real soon. So that'll be fun. Maybe I'll get a adrenaline shot from just like in Pulp Fiction or something. I guess that would be a heroin overdose, wouldn't it? So I don't think I'm having one of those. I mean, I'm not ruling it out, but I don't think I'm having one of those. Anyway, upcoming guests, I'll roll through those real quick again. I did mention them in the front of part two, but there's a chance you're only hearing part one, but there's a chance you're only hearing part two. I believe next will be James Harness, super talented imaging producer. Let me think here. K-Rock New York at one point. Many other places, lots of other great stuff. I won't go into entire bios right now. He's the current and newest imaging director at KISS Los Angeles. I'll have him on the podcast. Also going to have John Carter. He's been requested. I really look up to him in his abilities as a voice talent, but also a great producer, and he does lots of other things. So Megahertz Studios is his website. MegahertzStudios.com is his website. You can go check him out for more info, but he'll be coming up soon. And then Steve Pygott, looking forward to talking to him. He hasn't done an interview, he's told me, in years and years, and I'm yanking him out of his media blackout so he can come beyond the Mighty Producers podcast and discuss all of his doings recently. If you are totally unaware of who he is, I think most people will have heard of Steve. If you're not, Pure Tonic in London, which was a very cutting-edge, really cool sound house, imaging, music, sound design on lots of elements for big time stations, including Z100 and other places. He was at KISS 100 at one point. Anyway, he came to America to be the CEO of Real World. And then sort of abruptly, a couple months ago, it was just sort of announced, Steve Pygott no longer with Real World. Blah, blah. And I'm like, I don't know what that's all about. I've heard rumors and hearsay, but I don't mention those. So we'll talk to Steve and find out a little more about what he has going on and what's been going on, etc. If you want to submit your stuff, I'll make this mention again. I don't know how many people listen all the way to the very end of the very last part. But I would love to hear your material and see what you are doing in your studio. And so I've called it In the Studio. Very apropos. Email me pictures, audio, little bio, whatever you want to post, and I'll post it on the site. Everybody loves to see how other people work. So again, a totally wide open invitation. Don't feel like... One thing I know for me, the whole self-promotion thing can feel a little grimy. It's like, oh, I gotta go and tell someone about myself. It just feels weird and hoary. Don't think that. A, I'm never gonna say whether I reached out to someone or they reached out to me on these in the studio things. You know, typically 9.5 questions, I reach out to people. Not typically, I always do. But in the studio, you know, it could have just been blindly submitted to me and not posted. Or I might reach out to people and say, hey, why don't you submit it? So again, don't feel weird about sending in your stuff. Not just to me, not just to my site, but anywhere. I've talked to people in the business and it's like one of those necessary evils. You have to self-promote. And it's, again, it can totally feel gross. And, you know, you don't like being that guy or that gal, but it's a necessary evil. So put yourself out there. RyanDreen@gmail.com is a good way to reach me, or the contact form, which will also accept attachments on my website, RyanOnTheRadio.com. All right, I think that should wrap it up. I don't think I will have another episode out before Christmas. So Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, and everybody have a very, very safe New Year. And here's to a better 2013 than our 2012, which I know is a little rough for some people. But everyone look out for each other, keep your chins up, and have yourself a great holiday season. Okay, I've said goodbye for long enough. Bye.
This is The Producers. Have a question, comment, or concern? Email Ryan at RyanOnTheRadio.com. The Producers. Thanks for listening.